Welcome to Becoming Better with Na'ama, the podcast that teaches you how to become a better person and a better partner. In this podcast, you're going to learn how to know yourself better. You'll learn tools and techniques to improve your communication skills, and you'll learn how to navigate your relationships using effective language. I'm Na'ama, a life coach specializing in partnerships and dating. I leverage my gift of communication and the wisdom of my past mistakes to teach you how to love more and fight less. I'm new to the podcasting world, but I have a lot to say. I hope you'll stick around and enjoy the episode. Remember to subscribe and share, and feel free to write to me at info@naamasegal.com for future episode ideas. And now, here's a brief ad from our sponsor, BetterHelp.com. Hey y'all, it's Na'ama. And as Ted Lasso likes to say, I am a work in progress. Seriously, I know that I am becoming better every day, but sometimes I'm also a mess. One of the most powerful tools that I have used over the last 20 years to become a little less of a mess is therapy. And if you need a therapist, which I think everyone does, you should go with BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, which happens, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. I believe that everyone can benefit from therapy, and you can benefit from 10% off your first session by going to betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. That's betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. Get yourself a therapist. They are just a fresh set of eyes to help you tackle any problem that you want to overcome. I believe in you, and this is just another way that you can become better. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Na'ama with Becoming Better, and today I can confidently tell you we are going to talk about having confidence. I personally am a great example of having confidence and not having had it for the first 20 years of my life. Scratch that. I did have confidence and my own identity and my own inner strength, and I knew who I was until I hit kindergarten, and then I got badly bullied to the point of like physical altercations all the way until my senior year. I actually ended up at 8 different schools over the course of my life because of being bullied. And in the 80s, you didn't do therapy. You didn't have your parents stand up for you. You just dealt with it. And I cried myself to sleep every night for literally a decade. It only came to my senior year where I finally just woke up one morning and I said, you know what? Fuck this. I am tired of trying to get people to like me. I'm just going to be my weird self. And for some reason, that was the day everyone opened their eyes and went, oh, wow. You cut your hair? Oh, those boots are so cool. Oh my God, I love your choker. Oh, why aren't you going to be in the senior prom fashion show? And on and on and on. People that I didn't even know knew I existed were coming up to me and suddenly smiling at me and talking to me. And it wasn't until my second year in college that I really got my sea legs. I have very specific reasons for how I grew in my confidence and shifted from being this introverted chicken shit scared thing to a confident badass person, but they're my specific examples. They may not apply to you. So I'm going to share with you what confidence is, what it looks like, feels like, how it attracts people, and how I got my confidence specifically. And we'll talk a little bit about inner work and the outer world and how both of those really influence your ability to have confidence. So get your pen ready. You're going to want to write this down. So let's get started with the basic question. What is confidence? Now, I want to thank a very special listener, Adita Klein-Tamkin, for this episode idea because she helps people get together. She's something called a shadchanit. She helps people date and find a mate so that they can get married and have a good life. And she noticed one of the big factors that influences these people who are dating is confidence. And obviously, like, she's married, I'm married. It's something we notice in married people too, but I want to thank her for suggesting this podcast episode. What is confidence? It matters. You need to know what it actually is because a lot of people pretend to have confidence, but they don't really. So let's dissect it for a second. Confidence isn't sticking your chest out and walking into a room and being the center of attention. I know that that's literally what like social media and movies and TV show us, but that's not confidence. Confidence is not being the loudest voice in the room. Confidence is not sucking all the air out of the room. Confidence is not having to be right all the time. Those things are not indicative of confidence. They're indicative of a need for attention and, frankly, being insecure. Those are just examples of what confidence is not. I'm sure you've seen this in your regular life. There's always that one guy at your work or in your class, and that is 100% not confidence. As a matter of fact, it's probably coming from a place of deep insecurity, as I said, that is covering up for the fact that they don't like themselves, they're not confident, and so they have to put on a huge face. I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole separate episode, but you get the idea. Now, what is confidence? Confidence is effectively knowing not only who you are inside to some degree or another, but knowing that you are capable of handling situations that are presented to you. And it doesn't mean knowing that you can handle literally anything that's ever thrown at you, because let's face it, we're not all astronauts, we're not all rocket surgeons. But confidence is knowing that you have a set of skills, that you have an intelligence, that you have all kinds of talents that make you uniquely suited to tackle the world, or at least your little corner of it. Being able to lean back and feel that knowledge, that security that you have inside of, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can lean on that skill set. Yeah, I am good at that particular thing. Yes, I actually do know what I'm talking about. The ability to lean back into that sense of security, that's confidence. Leaning back into that and being able to take that knowing, that feeling of security, and then projecting it forward in your mannerisms, your verbal and your nonverbal communication, and in the choices you make, that's showing your confidence. Now, it's a big idea, obviously. I could spend hours talking about it, and I probably will one day when I have a Patreon and there's all kinds of hidden things that I can make available to people. But right now, for this moment, let's just say confidence is the security of you knowing that you are uniquely suited for the situations that life throws at you and taking that knowledge of security forward into your choices, your actions, and your behaviors. It looks like, as an example, standing up straight with your shoulders back. It looks like direct eye contact, not like testing the waters, I'm going to beat you, my horse is bigger than your horse kind of eye contact, but just eye contact, not being afraid to look someone in the eye. Confidence looks like a soft mouth, possibly even a smile. Confidence looks like hands on your hips or hands at your side or hands clasped together in front of you. Confidence feels like inside of you, feels like a sense of ease, feels like a deep, relaxing breath. It feels like an open chest without constriction. It feels like a calm belly, like you just walked into your favorite store with a pocket full of cash. It's that sense of relaxation and calm. That's what confidence feels like. Confidence feels like dry palms, not sweaty ones. Confidence feels like slowly nodding your head up and down because you understand what's happening. Confidence feels like agreement inside of you, agreeing, yes, yes, that is true. Yes, I do understand that. Yes, I do know what this is talking about. That's what it feels like. And most importantly, make a little star on your paper here, people. Confidence is attractive, and here's why. Part of this, obviously, there's science behind it. I am not a scientist, so you can Google it yourself. But part of it is absolutely biological. When you encounter someone who is confident in their skill set and confident in their capacity to achieve a solution or solve a problem, that means that they know that if there is an issue, they don't need to run away. It means that they're not going to be petrified. They're not going to be paralyzed by fear. They're going to address the issue head on, and you can rely on them. That kind of confidence is attractive. And I don't mean like romantically attractive, sexually attractive. I mean, people have energy and we're either attracted to that energy or we are repelled by that energy. So when someone is confident, they are telling you with verbal and nonverbal cues, actions and word choices, that they are not going to be afraid of a challenge. They are going to embrace that challenge and that you can rely on them to actually achieve it. Surety and confidence and awareness and security of self are very attractive qualities. I'm sure you've encountered somebody either in person or on TV who you find confident and attractive. Maybe for some people, that's Gary Vee, the business entrepreneur. Maybe it's, Carson Daly, Anderson Cooper. I don't know. Whoever it is, they are confident. And it might be a quiet sense of confidence. It might be your boss. It might be a sibling or a parent. But you know what I'm talking about. It's an attractive quality. Now, for me, how did I get my confidence? Like I said, I was bullied a lot. Severe trauma. Like, I'm not exaggerating. So by the time I got into college, my first year, I knew that I was basically getting a new lease on life and I was going to turn a leaf and I had an opportunity to reinvent myself. A good chunk of the reason that I didn't have confidence was because I was surrounded by the same people over and over, day in and day out, and you are who you hang with. If you hang with a bunch of a-holes, you're going to end up becoming either another a-hole or victim of an a-hole. But when I went to college, I got into a lot of interesting different things. I started exploring activities and hobbies and passions that I'd never had the chance to do because I was embarrassed or scared or didn't have the money or my parents wouldn't let me. And eventually I discovered something amazing. What is this thing? Okay, don't laugh. Live action role playing. Okay, you can laugh. It's fine. I literally, at age 18, would wear an evening gown and walk around downtown Santa Rosa in Northern California every Saturday night with a bunch of other 20-somethings in their tuxedos and their leather jackets and whatever other costumes they were wearing. And I would pretend to be a vampire every Saturday night. I'm not kidding. And then Sunday mornings, I would dress up in like rags or leather or whatever and pretend to be a werewolf and go meet at a park with the same group of 20-somethings. It was the most fun I consistently ever had in my life, even now as an adult in my 40s. The memories that I made doing LARP were priceless. And obviously, like, again, I can make a whole episode about why live action role play is so healthy and important for a person's imagination and their capacity for creativity and for play. But let me tell you here, in terms of confidence, being able to play a character that was so far removed from my personality was so freeing. It gave me a chance to let everything go, to be totally off the wall, to be over the top, to be a psychopath, to be a sociopath, to be a hero archetype, to be a paladin, to be a hopeless, morose, pathetic artist, Any character I could come up with, that's who I was. And in particular, this particular LARP group with the vampire theme specifically, shout out to all you in NoCal for Camarilla 1999 to 2002. The darkness of the venue was really what solidified it for me. I was allowed to dive into the depths of my own darkness and be this living, breathing monster for 4 hours a night on a week, you know, by myself. And then they would call game and I would shake it off. And it was like a director calling scene. And that was it. And then I got to go back to being me. And everyone in the group had the same experience. And then we would go to afters, which you may understand, you may not. It just meant we all would go smoke cigarettes in front of the local Lions or Marie Callender's or Denny's or whatever and go eat horribly greasy, totally bad for you junk food. And we would basically compliment each other on how we did. And we would constantly be like play fighting and mocking each other and lifting each other up. And it was so nourishing to my soul. I ended up gratefully, blissfully being blessed with a small cluster of people in this group who I'm actually still friends with today, 22 years later, who actually cared enough about me to say, hey, you know, I liked how you handled the scene. You could have pushed it further. You could have done this with your hands, this with your face. You could have said this word with emphasis or this phrase with emphasis. Next time you run into that kind of a scene, try it that way. In acting, you call it taking notes. Well, I can tell you right now, being able to act every single Saturday for 2 years straight was a gift from God. It helped me let everything go. It helped me not give a damn. It helped me look like a total fool in public on Saturday nights in downtown Santa Rosa. Like, if you are scared and you don't have confidence, you lose that shit pretty quickly because you need to be able to roll with everyone else. And in the end, I grew as a person. And it's hard work, you know, but it led to other things. I ended up working the Renaissance Festival circuit in Northern California. I learned to perfect my Scottish accent, my Irish accent, my English accent, my Israeli accent. Like, I got to be really good at putting on a character, and something finally clicked for me, and I'm going to share it with you, which is, if you're struggling with your confidence because you don't like who you are, create the character of who you want to be. Literally, imagine you're playing a video game, you know, PlayStation or on your PC, whatever. Create the character of you. Give them the highest stats possible. Give them the most, the highest charisma, the highest wisdom, the highest fortitude and intelligence, whatever it is. Create the character. Literally, on paper, you have your pen, write it now with paper, write it. Give them a name or a nickname, height, weight, build, personality, quirks. Give them a backstory. Give them everything that a character needs in order to thrive in the storyline. And then once you've fleshed it out to the capacity that you like, to the level that you like, be that character slowly. Take on the hard work of slowly becoming this character. This is different than fake it till you make it, because it, you know, fake it till you make it implies that what you're doing isn't true. And that you have to fool people. Well, that's not the point of this. You're not fooling anyone. You are forcing yourself to evolve. That's different. And this brings me to the best tool you can use when you create this character that you want to become so you can grow your confidence. Mirror work. I'm going to dedicate a whole episode to mirror work because it's that important, but you can flip-flop back and forth to that episode later. All you need to know is mirror work literally means standing in front of a mirror by yourself, door closed, you know, music blasting so that no one can overhear you if that's what you need to do. And you stare at yourself in the mirror and you make ridiculous faces at yourself and you stand in different positions. You pose, you posture. You're not doing this for the Instagram likes. You're doing this for you. And when you're in there doing your mirror work, you have some goals in mind. The first goal is always going to be to do self-care, self-love. Literally looking yourself in the eye and reciting a script that you create for yourself. I promise you, you can Google this information. This is not that hard to find. It's called affirmations. Anything that follows the phrase, I am, your subconscious will believe. If you say it enough, you will reprogram your self-conscious, your subconscious. And I don't know what enough is for you, but for me, it's usually about 1,000 repetitions. Once I've repeated something 1,000 times out loud in the mirror, it becomes set in stone and my subconscious believes it. So you stand there and you say your affirmations. I am confident. I am confident. I am confident. I am hilarious. I am smart. I am capable. I am really good at my job. I am a reliable person. I am a subject matter expert. Whatever it is you need to say to yourself to begin to grow this confidence. That's the first part of mirror work. Then you literally pull out your character sheet and you imagine putting on a coat or a cloak. And as soon as you do, you transform into this character. And you need to really flex these imagination muscles, people. Imagine looking at them in the mirror instead of you. Imagine, how do they stand? How do they breathe? How do they hold their head? How do they position their hands? What do you think actors do? This is literally what actors do to perfect a role. I heard a story once that Gary Oldman, in one of his roles, I believe it was called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, had obviously, you know who Gary Oldman is. He is the Dracula. There will never be another. I don't care. Fight me on it. Gary Oldman was in this film and he's a character actor. He's committed, a method actor. He will become this person months before he ever gets on film. And he could not get into the role of his character until he found the perfect tortoise shell glasses that absolutely suited his character exactly the way he envisioned. Once he found them, that was it. He was the character. And he was actually very hard-pressed to get out of character when the director called cut. That's what you're doing. That's what actors do. That's what newscasters do. That's what weather, you know, meteorologists do. That's what sports, you know, talking heads or whatever they're called do. People who are on camera, who have to perform, who have to do public speaking, who have to be on, this is the stuff that they do in private that they don't talk about. They rehearse being the person they want to be. You're not pretending or faking it. You're not being a fake person. You are evolving into the character that you want to be. Tony Robbins talks about this. It's a very tried and true behavior. You are changing your subconscious to understand, I'm not this scared person anymore. I am a confident person now. And this is how a confident person stands. And this is how a confident person walks. And this is how they smile. And this is how they chuckle. And on and on and on. That's the mirror work you need to do. In addition, it's really important to actually write this stuff down. Order a journal from my website, of course, and start writing down all of these pieces of information. Write down your character sheet of who you are. Write down your character's backstory. Write down what drives them, what they're passionate about, how they handle conflict, how they handle difficult people, how they handle an emergency. Write down these things. And also, don't forget the end loop so that you create this feedback loop for yourself. Write down what happens after you've done your mirror work each time. You know, Tuesday, 8 p.m., I did my mirror work, and today I felt 1% less ridiculous. Perfect. Write it down. We cannot change what we do not track. So if you don't write this stuff down and write what you notice about these exercises, ain't shit gonna change, people. Sorry. You have to write it down on some level, even if it's just in your phone, even if you're just recording voice notes and then having it transcribed. I don't care. You want to get creative and do all this mirror work on camera and then post it to your Instagram? Great. Go for it. Be courageous. But do the accountability piece of it and track the outcome of how these exercises go for you. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't recommend to literally everyone, especially introverts, to try LARP. I know it's ridiculous. I know it just seems like the dumbest thing on earth. Like grown ass people walking around a public park dressed as medieval warriors or something, boffing each other on the head with fake swords wrapped in pool noodles. Yeah, I know. I know. Go ahead and laugh. It's fine. But the truth of the matter is, some of the strongest, smartest, deadliest men I have ever met in my life, men who are, you know, multiple star Marines and Navy SEALs and Aikido masters, Taekwondo masters, they're into LARP like you would not believe. And it gives them peace and it helps them. It gives them an outlet. It's a creative outlet, just like anything else. So I invite you to consider that too. The last thing I'm going to talk about is the outer world. And what the heck does that have to do with your confidence? Well, like I said at the beginning, you are who you hang with. You are the sum average. That's not right, but I don't do math. Whatever. You're the average of five people in your, you know, clique, in your group. So you are who you hang with. If you are hanging out with a bunch of introverts who have no self-confidence, who slouch literally so badly, they have humps on their backs, who can never make eye contact. Well, guess what? That's probably what you're going to end up turning into. And if you hang out with people who smile a lot, who make eye contact, who laugh out loud, who say positive, kind things to their friends and lift each other up, guess what? It will rub off on you, and that's who you will turn into. Hang with people who have confidence. Not false confidence, not bravado, not arrogance, certainly not narcissism, but hang out with people who have confidence. If you're in school, for example, you may have to start exploring some clubs. When I was in high school, I was in poetry club. I wrote for the school paper. I was a roadie for band. I spread myself out a little bit so that I could see who was my people. You need to find your people. You need to surround yourself with people who will lift you up and give you confidence while you give them confidence. You want someone who will pick you up if you trip and fall, not someone who's going to point and laugh. Yeah, write that one down too. This also may not apply as much because, you know, maybe you're an adult, you're not in school anymore. I would recommend in that situation, make sure you're working in an industry, in a job that you're confident in. If you're in a job that you hate and you're constantly second-guessing yourself, it's probably not good for your mental health. It's probably not so great for your paycheck, and you could probably do better. That may be contributing to why you don't have self-confidence or why your self-confidence is low. And then, of course, there's the last part, which is your friends and family. I'll be the first one to tell you, my family's insane. Hanging out with them for too many days in a row is literally enough to literally make my hair fall out. I do not exaggerate. So I can tell you, we all have issues with our families. And if they're part of the reason you don't have confidence, you know it. If they pick on you, if they bully you, if they mock you, if they don't embrace your passions, if they don't check in on you and ask how you're doing, if they don't show they give a shit, you know it. And I'm not saying you should cut them off. I'm saying you should be mindful of it. You are who you hang with. And if you're constantly hanging out with a group of people, even if it's your family, who tears you down, you are basically telling them, it's okay to do that to me. Case in point, I had a client who didn't live here, lived on the East Coast. She is in her 30s and she still lives with her mom. She works at a really crappy job that she hates. She makes barely minimum wage. She lives on state assistance. Her other brothers live fairly close by and none of them really care about her. As a matter of fact, they've all basically told her that she's ugly or stupid or fat or useless. And they never really want to take care of their collective mother. They've told her, no, it's your job. Mom is your responsibility. You have to take care of her and do her doctor's appointments and whatnot. And she literally just buys it. Like, she knows that it's awful and that it's not a good way to live, and she doesn't do anything about it. It's a choice. She knows it's affecting her confidence. She knows it's affecting her future, but she's choosing to continue staying in that environment. At a certain point, folks, this is your life. No one's holding a gun to your head telling you to stay in any particular situation. Generally, obviously, if you are experiencing domestic violence, that's a different conversation. Don't write me angry letters. Let's be reasonable. But at the end of the day, this is your life. You need to live it because it's going to disappear. So, like I said, it's all a work in progress. You're not going to become instantly confident tomorrow. Shit doesn't work that way. However, it's really good that you're listening to this episode, and I'm really proud of you for doing it. And again, when you start doing your mirror work, when you start writing down this character that you want to become, looking ridiculous in private is really helpful. Learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to make lots of mistakes and to just take a breath and go, nope, don't like it. Do it again. Nope, don't like it. Nope, again. Nope, do it again. Until all the emotion is pulled out of it and you just practice the action. You'll grow in confidence slowly, I promise. So I hope this was helpful, and I'm confident that it will help you improve even a little, because as I always say, 1% better is still better. Thanks so much for listening. I hope to talk again soon. Let's get you better.